great adventure of consciousness on this beautiful planet, hurtling through space around that gorgeous sun. So you see these evil globalists, just remember, they're just people. They're going down. Credible economist and expert on what's happening in the world, Martin Armstrong, coming up. Right now, let's jam in a few more calls. Ashley in Pennsylvania, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
It's good to talk to you. The reason that I'm calling is you guys are talking about the food shortage, but we don't have a shortage of fentanyl or COVID shots. I've been sober. I got clean from fentanyl, and then I took one dose of the Pfizer shot, and now my left atrium is enlarged. You know, they're taking out an entire generation, my generation, and it sucks to watch it. And what I was going to ask you is what do you think Trump is going to do about it when he gets in office?
Well, that's the worst thing about Trump is that he went around with warp speed and 35 million people are dead worldwide. Trump, in that private call with RFK Jr., admitted that it's hurting children. He knows if he comes out publicly, they'll use it against him. But he's definitely backed off the shots. He wasn't 10% as bad as Biden. And somehow a lesser two evils guy. But obviously, future lockdowns and poison shots are off the table with the new Trump. If he goes for it, I'll be totally against him. But I'm telling you, that's not going to happen. But, I mean, I saw numbers this week that just came out. This is bigger than World War II, the death levels we've seen so far. It's insane.
Absolutely. And the fentanyl crisis, like I said, that's taking out even more, you know. And do we have the actual numbers of the COVID shot damage and the fentanyl, you know, the loss of life?
Well, we have the insurance company numbers. You know? We have the insurance company numbers on the dead. It's over 25 million. That's a conservative number. 35 million is a high number. I mean, they knew what this was. The CDC, FDA's own document that came out in October 2020 predicted what was going to happen, so they knew.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear about your heart.
Our kids. Our kids just, I'm so worried about my children's futures, you know, with all these shots and all their pressure of transgender and just everything. You know, it's very concerning to see the
direction. Well, we're in a war. We're in a depopulation war headed up by Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab, but the good news is the world is waking up.
Yeah, I hope some of us wake up a little bit faster. I also wanted to plug your products, Nitric Boost. That gives me such a boost of energy. And I also just got the X2. I love the iodine. It works amazing. And the energy, the foundational energy, that
yes.
Stuff is amazing.
Well, they're all amazing products, but we couldn't be here without you. It takes people to fund an InfoWar. And I salute you and thank you, Ashley. All right, Trina, Dogum, Dan, Kelly, Casey, you can hold till the guest is gone. I'll go to you, or you can leave. I'm sorry. We took a lot of calls, but we ran out of time. If you want to hold, I'll go to you after our guest leaves us in like 55 minutes. If not, you can go. I understand that. We appreciate you. We honor you. We appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate you participating. All right, Martin Armstrong is an amazing, groundbreaking economist going back in the last 30, 40 years. He's been a guest in the last decade or 20 years a few times. He has accurately predicted basically everything that's now happening. I tried to read his bio. It would take an hour to do, so I'm not going to do that. We're going to go to break for 60 seconds, join over 300 radio stations that don't carry the first 5 minutes. We're going to go right to Martin Armstrong about the election, the economy, what's happening in the world, Venezuela. He'll have the floor when we come back in T-minus 60 seconds. ArmstrongEconomics.com, one word. ArmstrongEconomics.com or ask-socrates.com. And then we have Maria Z in the fourth hour in studio from Australia. We'll be right back with our special guest in 60 seconds. Stay with us. This is a real attempt to turn America and the world around. This is a real attempt to stop World War III. This is a real attempt to save civilization for our children, because there's not just evil in the world, there's good as well. And so you've got to decide that that's happening and join it and promote it and support Trump and support us and spread the word, because that's what they fear is when you get a mission and you get committed and you take action. So tell everybody about the links at Real Alex Jones. Share the articles, share the videos, follow us at Real Alex Jones, and support us at drjonesnaturals.com with the great products. Support us at InfoWarsStore.com. Get things you need. It takes money to win a war. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. A big sale going on right now. Everybody needs Nitric Boost. It cleans out your blood and flushes all this crap out. Everybody needs the Nano Silver toothpaste and products at drjonesnaturals.com. This is a war!
You are either with the Republic or against it. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Well, my job really is easy. Corporate establishment media get talking points, it's on record, to spew disinfo. They lie for a living. They're puppets, they're sheep, they're NPCs. I get to 4 hours a day, just with the regular show, not to mention reports, have guests on who have track records of being accurate and track records of being persecuted by the system. So on this show, you get the people that have the highest accuracy rates. That's why I love my job. I don't have to keep track of lies. I keep track of the truth as it develops. Well, Martin Armstrong, ArmstrongEconomics.com and Ask-Socrates.com is amazing. I'm not going to go over all the incredible stock market systems he invented and all the things he's done for more than three decades. He's been coming on as a guest for at least 15 years. And we're going to get into the waterfront here. We've got economic confidence model. Martin's economic confidence model has been honing in on September 2024 for the worldwide uptick in the panic cycle, debt crisis, upcoming election, everything in between. So I'm going to try to give you the floor, at least here in the first half of this hour, to give us big picture, where the world is, how it all ties together, the election, Venezuela, the Trump assassination attempt, and then drilling in to the main trigger points that we're facing. So thanks for your time. We really appreciate you.
Oh, it's always great to see you, Alex. How you been?
Good, brother.
I think people have to really understand that we are in a phase where the confidence in government is absolutely collapsing. And I do believe it began with COVID. And this is on a worldwide scale. So, for example, just look at the elections that have taken place. You have the EU, they moved to the right. You had Britain, France. I mean, our computer basically does not look at polls. That's kind of nonsense. If you did a poll on Trump and you only called people in Washington, you'd say he'd lose, you know? Nigel Farage even came to our conference in 2019 in Rome, and he said, of course he's here, because one, he called us the alternative to Davos, but two, he said that basically our computer was the only one that said that he would have won. And it's people basically vote according to their economic situation. And what's happening globally here is that no matter who's in power, they're throwing them out. So it's not a left-right sort of thing. Our computer's been showing that, Trump should win. I've been on record before. I said, I understand Washington very well. I've been down there, since Reagan's period. And, I warned that they probably would even try to assassinate him, because that's just their playbook. They did the same thing to JFK. Anybody that threatens the deep state's agenda, they try to take out one way or another. And most people don't realize, but you can Google it. You'll see, I believe that there is going to be a documentary coming out on Richard Nixon. But I mean, there was a tape with the head of the CIA there, and Nixon said, "I know who killed JFK." After that, they made sure they got rid of him. A couple of the guys that were in the Watergate thing were CIA people, and they just bumbled to get caught. But most importantly, when Nixon left office, he's entitled to, Secret Service protection in perpetuity. He dismissed them and hired his own people. He did not trust the Secret Service to protect them. And I think that says it all. I mean, you can look throughout history, even in the Roman Empire. I mean, 13 emperors were assassinated by their own bodyguards. This is a common thing. But what we're looking at here is it's really a major global debt crisis. And since World War II, they've been borrowing year after year with no intention of paying anything back. And this is reaching the point of a climax here. And this is why they need war. And the Biden administration, the main reason they wanted Biden there is because 40% of the time he was in Delaware, he was just basically a placeholder. So what was really taking place, then you have the Secretary of State Blinken threatening China over, you go into Taiwan, we'll wage war. Well, China was the number one holder of U.S. debt. They dumped $53 billion just in the first quarter of this year. Janet Yellen has to hop on a plane, run over there and say, keep buying our debt, please. And they say, why? If we want us to buy $100 billion so you can buy missiles to shoot us, Washington is in total chaos because there is not a president doing their job. And at these cabinet meetings, the president is supposed to be the referee because every agency, they're like 2-year-old children. They all want their own way. So here you have EPA outlawing gas stoves, and on the other hand, you have Lindsey Graham saying that there's $10 to $12 trillion worth of gas reserves under Crimea, and we can't allow Russia and China to get that. I mean, there is just no coherent strategy or common theme even. So what we see here, I just got back from Europe, spoke to a number of different governments there. And they're all preparing for war. Why do they want war? And I can tell you that basically their exit strategy for this debt crisis that we have, and the debt crisis comes. A lot of people say, $34 trillion in debt. The level of debt really does not matter. What is the critical issue is when people stop buying it. As long as there's the next guy in line that continues to buy it, then they can keep rolling it and rolling it. But now when you're threatening China and things of this nature and the BRICS, people don't really understand what the BRICS is about. It's a geopolitical issue. Once they put sanctions on Russia, you have all these other countries beginning to realize, hey, wait a minute, if we don't do what the U.S. tells us to do, they can remove us from SWIFT. So that's what the BRICS is really about. They intend to actually, they want to wage war. And what happens with war? You can go on eBay and you can buy all the bonds you want from all these different countries. They basically, a new government forms and they default on the last one. You can go on eBay and buy U.S. continental currency from all the states and as well.
You can buy Confederate currency. So exactly. They always bring into war when an old economic system is coming to an end.
Yes, because they get to default. And a new government comes in and it does not have to honor the debts of the last. And so I said, you can go on eBay and you can buy continental currency. The Constitution, read it, that they were going to honor all the debts of the previous. They never did. Spain, has defaulted 7 times. France, it's on its 5th republic. Just go down the list. I mean, China, you can buy all these bonds from World War II. They all defaulted. All right. So if they create a war, they get two objectives out of this. One, they get to default. But two, that's what this whole digital currency issue is about. I've met with governments for a long time, as you know, and they all think that on average, Europe and in the United States, that 35% of the economy is underground and not paying taxes. So how to get that tax is to eliminate physical money. That's what this is all about. They move to the digital currency side. And then, you know, you hire that 16-year-old girl next door to watch the kids while you and your wife go out. Oh, my God, you gave her $50, you know, and she didn't pay taxes. That's our problem. You know, that's the way they look at
it. And so their answer is the cashless society monitoring every facet of our lives. I'm no economist like you or expert, but that's going to create incredible destruction of the economy, incredible pressure and civil unrest, an angrier world.
Yeah, just look at basically Nigeria, where they pulled that off and all kinds of riots and burning banks and things. But also behind that, which is doesn't appear to be out in the press very much, is that the IMF has already created their digital coin. And the whole scheme here is that it's the IMF digital currency, which will replace the dollar. And this will raise the world, everything you're talking about with the UN wants this one world government stuff. And it's not a conspiracy theory. You can look on my site. I've got a video there. Just Google Holland. He was the former president of France. And I have a video I put on there with him standing up there with Merkel in the European Parliament saying the very purpose of the EU was one government for Europe to eliminate European war. This theory has been around for a long time. It's not a conspiracy theory.
No, that's why they claim they formed the EU. That's why they said they did.
Yes, that's exactly why. And at this stage, they think that the plan is that the United Nations will step up and appear to be the peacemaker. And therefore, that will elevate them to this one world level of government.
Just like Herbert Walker Bush said in 1990 and 91, he said, out of this UN war, we'll bring in a world government.
This has been a theory around for a long time. You know, that if there's one government, then you end war. I've argued with them. I said, you obviously don't know your history. The Roman Empire was one government. And how many civil wars did they have?
Well, even Elon Musk said at the World Government Summit last year, he said one world government will create nothing but civil war.
Exactly. I see it in Europe. When they were forming the euro, they came to me. I sat down with them and I warned them, this is not going to work. They were selling it to everybody that, like the United States, will have a single currency. Everybody will pay the same interest rate. And I can tell you what happened. Chancellor Kohl of Germany did not allow the German people to vote for the euro. He unilaterally took Germany in. And because he said if the German people voted, he would have lost 7-1.
I remember that headline.
Yeah. So what he did was he took Germany into the EU and that created the euro. And basically to do that, he said you cannot consolidate the debt. So every country still has its own debt. There isn't a single national debt. And I warned them that all you're going to do is transfer the volatility in trading foreign exchange from the foreign exchange market to the bond market. And that's what's happened. All right. They don't understand trading. They don't understand markets. They don't understand anything.
And they think they can always raise more taxes. Let me ask you this. They go back to your main point. The globalists, the big banks, they're all shutting down fertilizer, food production, paying farmers not to grow crops. If they're actually trying to prop up a bubble or bring in a new bubble, why would you attack energy and food production when that's the basis of everything? Well, because they want to consolidate control, but don't they get by consolidating control, they create even more volatility, and they thought they could blame climate change, but most people aren't blaming climate change. They know it's globalist policy. So why are they at war with the real economy? What's the plan there?
This is how they get power. They basically do want it to decline and say, oh, I'll come to me, I'll save it. This, you know, you don't basically change something unless it's broken.
Exactly. They're the savers. They said, we're going to save you from climate change that causes mass starvation while they open the borders and cut the food off. But people aren't buying that BS. Don't they get that they're now the villains, that Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and the UN are the most hated groups out there?
Basically, I can tell you Klaus Schwab resigned from CEO, just moved to chairman. He's still there, but he did so because of all the negative publicity against him. These people think that we are stupid.
Yep.
And I've just heard this for, I've been dealing with governments, honestly, for 50 years. And I can tell you, I was down there when Reagan was in, and they were all upset when Reagan was elected. And I said, what's the problem? Oh, you don't understand. I said, well, explain it to me. And they said, look, he's a governor. We're going to have to train him. All right. They don't like anybody from outside of Washington.
That's why they don't like Trump. That's why they hate Trump.
And they also don't like RFK. It's you're coming in and playing in our sandbox. And that's basically the real problem. What they told Reagan when he wanted to meet with Gorbachev, I can tell you absolutely, because I was down there. The neocons told him, okay, fine, he's no longer a communist, but you can never trust the Russian. And, Trump was right. NATO is an absolute terrorist organization. They should have been shut down. The whole purpose of it was basically to defend Europe against communism. That was it. That was when Gorbachev said, we will bury you. All right. Those days are gone. All right. As you know, I was in the middle of the whole Russian thing back in 1999. I mean, they were basically interfering in the Russian election for 2000. They blackmailed Yeltsin to try and get him to step down, and they wanted to stick in their puppet to run Russia, who was Berezovsky. They wanted me to put in $10 billion into this Hermitage capital, and I refused. All right. And, they rigged that election when Yeltsin realized he was getting blackmailed. And he was getting attacked on the opposite side. The old neocon Russians, the communists, they had filed a motion for impeachment. So he was getting it from the U.S. trying to interfere and the other side. That's why he turned to Putin, because Putin was not an oligarch and he wasn't a communist. And that's why they hate Putin so much, because he basically, did that. And Hillary was
involved. He doesn't play along with the stereotype they want.
No, he doesn't. And look, I've got the declassified documents from the Clinton administration. And what Putin said in that interview with Tucker was correct. All right. I have the documents showing that the Clinton administration, there was a proposal for Russia to join NATO. That is why the communists there staged the coup against Gorbachev. Because they felt that would be a surrender to the United States. All right. And that's what that coup was all about. And then you had Yeltsin standing on the tank, et cetera, and all that. People have to understand, did Hillary suddenly say that Putin interfered in the 2016 election? And she said, oh, because I had said one of his elections were rigged. No, that wasn't it. It was basically because the U.S. under the Clinton administration and the bankers were trying to interfere in the Russian 2000 election. They were trying to take it over then. And
sure. So it looks to me like Ukraine's failed. Stuff. Everything the globalists have done have failed. Moving us up, great economist here with us. what's the 35,000 foot view? You said it. Things are going horrible for the globalists. They admit it is. Washington's totally incompetent. They're in disarray. Martin Armstrong, the attempted assassination of Trump. Your quick snapshot on that. We'll go to break and come back with the election, the economy, everything else.
Look, that was clearly a setup. It's out of their playbook. When there's some sort of, it's always a loner. You basically take him out. And when they present him, look at it. It's very curious. Anyone that they use like that, they always use three names. That's in their playbook. Like Lee Harvey Oswald. They were trying to take out Trump because he represents the greatest threat to them. Trump knows. The last time he was there, they stuffed his cabinet. They said, oh, you don't really have, you need to give confidence. So they stuck in people like John Bolton, et cetera.
Fiona Hill, all of them.
Yeah. So this time, now he knows the game. All right. He gets back in, he puts in his own cabinet. That is the biggest threat to the neocons probably in the history of this country.
That's right. He only got General Flynn in. He only got General Flynn in, that was the one good guy. That's when they went so ape after him. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know a number of these people. I mean, and I know Bill Kristol, who wrote even the book to justify going into Iraq. And I used to argue with him. I said, he thought you go into the Middle East, you remove all these dictators, Saddam Hussein, Assad out of Assyria, Gaddafi, and then we'll bring peace. I said, you cannot do that. I said, you do that, you're basically this idea of regime change. You're disturbing, people have their own culture. You cannot basically force
it creates
them
it creates a power vacuum and civil war.
Look, this is, our computer's been remarkable on forecasting politics. This time, I can tell you, it's showing. I was shocked. It's showing that two of the six models. One is 61% for Trump. One is 59%. There are only three presidents in history that ever reached 60%. That was FDR one time. That was after JFK's assassination, Johnson, and Nixon, when he said he was taking us out of Vietnam. Everybody else, you look at it, Obama, whatever, you see 51, 52%, and they pretend this 1 or 2% is a mandate, and it's not. I think the polarization of the country started with Hillary and saying anybody that voted for Trump was a deplorable. Even Jamie Dimon got on the stage at Davos and said Trump was right about the border. He was right about NATO, and he cautioned the Democrats. He's that you're basically hating half the country. I mean, it's the United States will break up. There's no question about it. We cannot stand as a unified country like this, and any sort of civil regulations, etc. People have to understand these governments always seek central control.
Hold on, Martin Armstrong. Martin Armstrong, you have the floor. Incredible. I should have up front talked about your world famous computer models and the election and war. So let's start over. Because the most important part came right there at the end. We'll come back. You can make your point you were just making, and then get into your models, and then the what you believe is the probability of the breakup of the United States. How does this crash landing happen? Is it survivable? Stay with us.
Hi, this is Jeff with DMO Knives, and we are super excited to partner with Alex Jones for this style breacher knife from DMO. For a limited time, our tactical breacher, through our Alex Jones partnership, will be designed like this. We have our black over OD Cerakote, OD G10 composite handles with the following logos upon them. Betsy Ross flag over here with Alex Jones signature here. And then you flip that over and we've got Donald Trump. Fight, fight, fight. We've had these things crammed in a Humvee, prying open a door in Syria. We've shot them at the range. They have survived. They have a lifetime guarantee. So if you ever break one, we'll replace it for you to help develop the toughness and sturdy and durable and usability, along with the beauty. There's four different heat stages that we put this thing through to come up with a dual level of hardness for usability and sturdiness. It's built to never fail the operator. Made in America, by Americans, for Americans. How much stronger can you get than the DMO quarter-inch thick steel breacher? Patriotic, strong, just like America. Again, we are super excited to team up with Alex Jones with DMO Knives for this product, which is our patriotic tactical breacher. You can't get more patriotic than this. We can't wait to get them in your hands.
In the last 6 months, as InfoWars has been fighting for its very existence, we've had a lot of great organizations and groups reach out wanting to support us. Well, I got to tell you, Dead Moose Ops is one of the best. They put out some of the most amazing collectible limited edition knives and other amazing collectibles with folks like the Hodge Twins and so many others. These guys are bringing great products to the American people, and they're keeping some of the most important talk show hosts on the air as we win the fight against the globalists. So we've decided to come out with 500 of their best-selling limited edition knife engraved specifically for InfoWars. It's amazing. So here it is with the American flag, the original 13, Alex Jones, and it is such a storied knife. It's a special operations style knife. It's of the highest quality steel made right here in America in Arkansas. This knife cost over $115 to just produce because it's of the highest quality materials at the highest standards. And there's only 500 of these limited inscription knives with the original 13 colonies flag, commissioned by George Washington and laser inscribed with my signature, Alex Jones. This is a very important fundraiser. You know, on NPR and on PBS, you know, they get hundreds of millions of dollars of tax money every year. They will sell a coffee mug for $100, though it costs $5. And you know you're getting memento to know you supported communism and evil and the New World Order. Well, this is a knife that cost over $115 because it's such high quality. And when you get the knife and you pay the extra money to fund the operation, you are changing the world. So if you want a limited edition knife that is simply amazing, read all about it right now at DMOKnives.com. It is DMOKnives.com. This is a true piece of Americana, and it funds the operation. There's only 500 of this knife available. So please be part of this fundraiser and have this piece of history. Go to DMO, that's Dead Moose Operatives, but just DMO, the letters DMO, knives.com, it's on screen, and you get an additional $25 off when you use promo code Alex.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
So the deep state is in total panic mode. Elon Musk just posted about what broke on Gab last week. The FBI sent a subpoena to Torba, the head of Gab, and this is a side issue. And it was all leftist stuff and anti-Trump stuff and pro-border stuff. Now the FBI has put a filing in saying, no, he's right-wing. Even though we have the Post. I mean, they're just totally desperate. Like saying Kamala Harris was never the border czar. They are just absolutely floundering, which is dangerous because just like our great economist guest, Martin Armstrong, was just saying, everything he says, I know it's true because I've read it and covered it on the air, but he's moving fast. You take the head economist or the head of France's financial system under Macron. He said like 6 months ago, don't worry about our economy. We're going to have a 20-year war with Russia. We've seen other statements in the EU about we're a war economy now. So they're planning this long protracted war that's already escalated with hypersonic missiles on the Russian border. It's totally insane. So in the last 30 minutes, he dropped some huge bombshells, but he got interrupted on a point he was making by the break, the hard break. And then I want to go back into his computer models that are world renowned and just the whole waterfront here, the election, potential breakup of the U.S., how we mitigate this. So, Mr. Armstrong, please continue with ArmstrongEconomics.com.
All right. I think, you know, people have to understand that if you look at Russia, when Lenin wanted to basically, he wanted to create a confederation based upon the United States, where each state still retained its individuality and its effective sovereignty. And he had even written a letter, do not let Stalin, you know, succeed me. But, you know, it's widely rumored in Russia that Stalin poisoned both Lenin and his wife. It was Stalin who usurped all the power central. When you do that, all right, you're creating this one size fits all. And throughout history, no government has ever survived under that model. The Roman Empire is what we should be actually, you know, adopting. You know, like, you know, a lot of people said, oh, they were pagans, they had all these gods. It's because they allowed freedom of religion. And if they conquered a land, they didn't say you have to, you know, respect our gods. They let the culture remain. All right. So they didn't get involved in socialized dictates, etc. So our problem here is that now when one side gets in, it's our turn to oppress the other. And this is just not the way civilization functions. You know, it's supposed to be that we all come together basically because we all benefit. When you get one group in, and ever since this socialistic idea has, you know, oh, we go get them, get more taxes for them, etc.
Interrupt you because you mentioned that in studies, the main reason we lost in Afghanistan after 20 years was the transgenderism and the leftist. So it was with Reagan and Levi's and Coca-Cola and people seeing prosperity, that sold the world with velvet, you know, gloved power, soft power. But instead, this leftist ideology has turned the whole world against America. What are the globalists doing trying to force feed this BlackRock-funded ESG of cut your son's penis off?
A lot of this has been just the sales propaganda for the UN that effectively you need the problem of climate change. It's going to take one power to regulate the entire world. Individual countries can't solve, climate change. So this nonsense about this is all behind why the United Nations should be at the top and dictate to everybody.
Exactly. And so they tried climate change and that didn't work. So then it was COVID. That didn't work. Now it's World War III. That's not going to work.
World War III is, we're not going to survive this the way they think. The West is finished in that sense. And look, the financial capital world always migrates. It was with, you know, Babylon that they lost it to Greece. Greece lost it to Rome. You can just go down the line of France. Spain had it. They lost it to
then
the
England,
French.
Then
the
America.
French lost it to the Germans. Yeah, and we will now lose it to China. Simple as that. China understands something that Russia does not. All right. China understands what made America the main economy, because we had a consumer-based economy that everybody else wanted to sell to. Look at Germany. The average German has less net worth than an Italian. Why? They keep their taxes very high. They misinterpreted hyperinflation. They thought hyperinflation was just printing money, where that was the response to what the government did before. But in December 22, they confiscated just 10% of everybody's assets in the bank. And you started taking your money out of the bank and you fled the country. Basically, that's what the hyperinflation came the next year. But, you know, this is, you know, what we have to look at here is that those that are in power never get it right. All right. Germany, their biggest problem is that they continue to use the old 18th century mercantile model. We build things and sell them to everybody else. So they keep their taxes high, and the average German, as I said, has less net worth than an Italian. America basically was a consumer freedom economy. And that's why everybody came here. You know, China, Japan, Germany, they all basically rose from the ashes by selling things to Americans. China understands this difference. They're not following the German model. They're following the U.S. model. And this is why they're rebuilding the Silk Road, etc. They will surpass the United States as the financial capital of the world. And we are too busy, you know, fighting over socialism. Just like communism failed, we are going to fail. This socialistic idea does not work.
What is the timeline? America is clearly in massive decline. And can Trump, if he gets in, circumvent that?
I wish he could. I mean, our computer, you have to understand that it's not my personal opinion. All right. The computer shows we are headed into a recession to 2028. And I don't really care who is the president. All right. On the election side, I can tell you it is saying that Trump should win and that there is going to be a substantial rise in civil unrest because, you know, neither side is going to accept a loss. I mean, just look at Venezuela. The same thing. Everywhere you go, people are now conditioned not to believe elections. And
So let me interrupt. How does election fraud is my next question. You answered already. Your computer says the real numbers show Trump's going to win. That's clear from all the numbers. I agree with your computer and your research. But how does the wild card of election fraud play in? I guess that just supercharges even more political awakening.
Yeah, it basically is. I mean, just look at the press. I mean, they stir the pot all the time. You know, they're not interested in reporting the news. They're trying to infiltrate people to, oh, you better vote against Trump. Do this, do that. He's going to destroy the country, this or whatever.
Where the elites cared, we'd want a strong leader to sell America and prop us up, and they would own it and get richer. But instead, because they want the petty power, because they won't be in charge, the people will, they get in the way of success.
Look, I can tell you, I was down in Capitol Hill after the 2007 to 2009 crisis. And I can tell you what they told me at that point, even everybody else that was conservative. Oh, well, don't cut the spending for me. There's too much self-interest in this. They can pretend.
So they're going to ride it till the wheels come off. They're going to ride till the wheels come off. So when do the wheels come off?
It's looking as though we're looking at the collapse of Republican forms of government. And that most likely is going, our computer showing that is around 2032. Between here and now, you're going to see it constantly get more and more confusing as you're spreading it to the masses. I mean, there were a number of us that realized, hey, there's a problem here. All right. But that is now spreading as more and more people begin to realize you cannot trust politicians, et cetera. And this is what all these elections just this year so far have been about. 60% of the world was going to elections. They're basically throwing out whoever's in power, just throw them out. And it's, you know, it's really just horrible. But
and the governments think the answer is surveillance and censorship and control, which only, again, makes it more oxygen to the fire.
Look, they know they're losing power. As they know they're losing power, they get more authoritarian. This is consistent throughout history.
Yes.
All right. It does not.
Now, you're talking about humans act the same. We're going through a pattern. I mean, it's happening.
Yes. I mean, history repeats because it's always human nature that never changes. So if, you know, in Roman times, okay, fine, I wanted to kill you, I'd use a sword. Star Wars was just basically the Roman history updated. Instead of a sword, it's a lightsaber. I mean, what difference is it if I shoot you or if I use the sword? I mean, the human emotions have never changed. All right, corruption is there. You can look, you can find out the first sovereign defaults was 400 BC. All right, nothing's changed. How many governments have ever paid off their debt? Only one that I know of, and that was Romania. You know, every single government for, you know, you're talking for basically for 4,000 years has always defaulted on their debt, period.
What do you think? I mean, the political class, describe the Western political class. You did a pretty good job. Bunch of lawyers, special interests. They're not thinking about big picture. They want their own interest, not seeing that they're destroying their own interest. Because where will Zuckerberg's money be valuable in his bunker in Kauai if everything is road warrior? I mean, that's just, the old aristocrats knew you got to have jobs and build things and have museums and libraries and, mm-hmm. and schools because what is your wealth worth if there's nothing to spend it or nothing to own? But instead, you have this kleptocratic consolidation of power that's actually destroying the real wealth, but they look at a balance sheet of trillions and say, look how rich I am.
Well, you know, it's a billion today, you know, is just, you know, monopoly money. A billion, you know, 20 years ago was real money. They don't understand what they're doing. You know, they're only interested in control. And if it goes against what they think should happen, then they try to intervene. And that's what this is all about.
And you're right. And they don't even look at second or third level to interrupt. They don't even look at second or third level because I'm smart enough to go, okay, this is happening. They don't like it. They intervene. And almost every time it makes it worse because they're looking at it one dimensionally. Why can't they think two, three, four dimensional?
I don't know. You know, I think mainly because the academics have poisoned the well to a lot of, you know, around the world. You take Klaus Schwab. Look, this idea that began with Karl Marx, and it's more than just communism or capitalism. He believed that government had the power to intervene and control society. Keynes did the same thing. You can Google Paul Volcker in 79, you know, his rediscovery of the business cycle. All right. He basically talked about Keynesian economics and how it failed. As you know, I probably deal with more central banks than anybody in the world. And they are in trouble. They know that. All right. Why? Because when Keynesian economics began, in the 1930s, U.S. had a balanced budget. So if it raised interest rates or lower interest rates, it affected us. All right. Not the government. Today, the government is the biggest borrower. This is what Powell came out in December and said, this spending is unsustainable. You have to understand central banks. The number one rule is you never criticize your current administration. He broke that rule in December of last year. It was the first time the Federal Reserve did that since 1951.
Yep.
They broke that same rule against the Korean War.
And explain, that's because they're scared. They're scared.
He knows. If he can't stop the inflation. First of all, it's based on shortages, not speculation. All right, but he raises,
and that goes to my earlier question. They try to suppress production for control, not knowing production would get them out of this innovation. But it's insane.
Exactly. I mean, look, that's what COVID did. I got emails from farmers. They had to kill 30,000 chickens.
Look, I'm not a top economist, world famous like you, but I said 4 years ago, I said shutting down production and food production is gonna cause massive shortages that'll lead to accelerate inflation and civil unrest. And then it's like so obvious.
They don't have that. They're sitting there in their own little bubble, and they're mostly academics. And this is what I've encountered, that they are just there and they believe in the Keynesian model, that the government has the power to steer us through everything. And they're wrong. That's what's coming down. Powell understands, all right? And that's why he came out in December and said this spending is unsustainable. He raises interest rates. All right, fine. Maybe you buy less. All right. Does it tell, you know, what happens with government? Do politicians say, oh, gee, he wants us to spend less money. Let's reduce our spending. Never. All right. The interest expenditures now are over $1 trillion. The national debt when Ronald Reagan came to power was $1 trillion. All right. We're not getting out of this. You can't, you know, I have a solution how to do it, but, you know, I would basically, you know,
That's my next question. To make, you're a really smart guy, very well respected. Is there a way to land the plane? Oh, it's going to crash, but survivable. How, if you were the IMF, the World Bank, the WEF, the UN, the globalists, you know, BlackRock, what would you be doing? Because obviously they're building a world where they're the villain, they get destroyed. They think they're going to like blow the economy up, consolidate power mindlessly. No, they're building their own tomb, in my view. How would you, if you were them, what would you do?
I would treat it the same way when I get called in to deal with a company that's in trouble. You do a debt to equity swap. All right. And I propose this to them. All right. We issue coupons. You got a 30-year bond here. You get this coupon. We redeem the 30-year bond and government never borrows again. You take that coupon and then you can go to, you know, Merrill Lynch or whoever, and then you can buy corporate bonds or private stock. It must be domestic. All right. If you took $34 trillion, you basically make that available for new jobs, new companies. You wanted to float a company, but, you know, they say, gee, there's not enough money. Now there is. You would create the biggest economic boom in history. All right. You have to make sure the government no longer is allowed to borrow, period. All right. And because the problem is, we're in this socialistic agenda of Marx. I need to run for election. And people don't really understand what happens. All right. I've been dealing with governments for a long time. I could run for office and say whatever you want me to say. I'll save the whales. I'll do this. I'll whatever. All right.
I'll forgive your tuition. I'll give you reparations.
Whatever. And I get to Washington, and it doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, there's a meeting the first day. Congratulations, glad you're here. This is how it works. You will vote according to what we tell you. So what happens is, just look at the voting record. It's usually down party lines. You know, there is no such thing as voting for somebody because they're going to be different than everybody else. If they do not comply, they do not get on a committee, you know, and there's no power. When the Tea Party got in there, they refused. There was about 80 some that refused to follow Bonner. All right. He started removing them, made sure that anybody that supported them was taken off. Various anything to do with a financial committee. It was retaliation. This is what goes on in Washington. It is so petty. When I got called in 85 back, they were forming the G5 and they were standing up and saying they were going to lower the value of the dollar by 40%. I said, you can't do this. I went out of committee. I wrote to Reagan. And I said, you do this, you're going to create a crash in 2 years, which turned out to be the 87 crash. But these people don't realize you just sold a third of the national debt to Japan at the time. And you have all these foreigners buying U.S. assets. You lowered the value of the dollar by 40%. Fine, you might be able to sell a car cheaper overseas now. But then any foreign investor in the United States loses 40%. And they all sold. You know, they don't understand the economy.
All right, well, we're almost out of time. You got to come back more than once a year. Come back in a month if you can. But the 3-4 minutes we've got left here with you, big picture, things after you leave you wish you would have said, will they try on Trump again? What do you think the average person should be investing in? I mean, we've been talking big picture here, but just other little factoids you think are important.
Stay away from any government debt, federal, state, or local. Stay away from that. All right. The stock market probably will go up. Same thing with gold, et cetera. When people begin to realize we're at a point in time where the confidence in government is collapsing, not the private sector. All right. Now, just ask yourself this. You really want to sell all your stocks and go buy government bonds on a flight to quality when they're going to create a war for 10 years? I mean, you know, you don't do that. It's the exact opposite of what a lot of these people are saying. So, you know, we're going to be going into a recession. It's going to be more like stagflation, because as you also go in the war, what happens? You end up with shortages. There'll probably be capital controls, particularly for Europe. When they realize that people want to get their money out, they'll put capital controls so you can't. This is, you know, the world we're in, and they're going to get more authoritarian. Particularly after this election, you're going to see a rise in civil unrest. Nobody's going to accept the winner. I don't care who it is.
It's positive to know the truth. I think you're overall right. I mean, I think you're totally right. The question is, you know, what's the spectrum there? Now, what is your advice to President Trump?
He's got a shot to basically reduce the volatility with war, but it's probably only going to postpone until 2027. Either we go into war now and the peak of it's 2027, or if Trump can get in and you can't shut it down. And the main thing is you got to sit on top of NATO. My concern is that they will. Plan B is to start some sort of war before he gets in.
I agree.
So to trap him so he cannot exit.
Oh, that's clear. They want to accelerate the war to a level where he can't get out.
Exactly. Before the election, or certainly before January.
So what do we do to help Trump stop that?
Basically, just you really support him. I mean, even RFK, I was, you know, going back and forth between the two of them. I was trying to get RFK to accept the attorney general position, not VP. His father was that. And my argument is that, you know, that if he did that, he could indict Pfizer. Attorney general has absolute immunity.
You know? Oh, I mean, he's as powerful as the president if you take out the military aspect.
Probably more so. The president could at least be sued. You know, the attorney general cannot. All right. So you want to basically try and save the world, write to him and say, hey, take the attorney general, please. I think Trump would be a better president. And VP really doesn't much matter. They're just kind of a placeholder. But that's what I would really kind of look at. And understand that we are facing a very serious crossroads here, and they are looking at this stage in the game for war to keep their power.
That's right.
And Trump getting in, the neocons are out of everything.
ArmstrongEconomics.com. Everybody check it out. Martin Armstrong, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Please pray for InfoWars. Please pray for the crew. And I'm so thankful to the crew. They're doing such a great job. I'm so thankful to Owen and to Chase and to all the rest of the crew and Rob Duver here with me right now. We were one family together, black, white, old, young, you name it, in the fight for liberty against the New World Order. Thank you so much for your past support. And I humbly ask for your support now. If you go to InfoWarsStore.com, where the big Save InfoWars sale is going with X2 and X3 and DNA Force Plus, Nitric Boost, and all these other incredible game-changing products. Also, the great line, a dozen products under InfoWars MD, private labeled from a top manufacturer in the country. They said, hey, we'll let you have our whole line, and then we'll ship it for you. We'll do it all. It's all drop ship. All our products are selling out. We're out of money. I'm like, but because of InfoWars MD, they have basically unlimited for us, so that now when you buy InfoWars MD, you're getting great, excellent, amazing products that are across the board for your supplement needs, and they then keep us on the air. InfoWars MD.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.